Gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now as Jesus and the disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, y'all know Martha and Mary, or the male version of them. They're all over the place. I imagine, if we were to think about it, we might be able to decide which of these we are more like ourselves. Well, I know everyone tries to get a balanced life and, you know, kind of have the whole thing, but let's face it. We got ourselves task-oriented people, and we've got ourselves people-oriented people, and we need them both. And yes, we try to be a little bit of each, but it's tough to pull off. My mom and dad were both Marthas. Now maybe that comes from a Norwegian heritage with, you know, a healthy work ethic. So my dad was fulfilling the cultural imperative that he understood to be the way you express love for children. He worked long and hard. And occasionally on the weekend, he wasn't mowing the lawn or fixing something around the house, he would throw a football to my brother and I. My mom, answering the cultural imperative that she understood to be the way you express love for your children, ironed my t-shirts and underwear. She did, as well as all the other stuff. Especially feeding. She fed me much too well when I was a kid. My pants came from the part of JCPenney's that were labeled husky. But that's our understanding. It's the way you take care of your kids. Do you ever sit at their feet? Listen? Yeah. Most of the time is she listened to us rattling on. She was knitting or fixing something in the kitchen. It's the way she showed love. I get it. But sometimes it would have been nice just to listen. Not that they didn't ask. They did. How was your day today? Which my brother and I had learned to mean, what did you do today? I don't remember ever saying, you know, Mom, Dad, I was a little sad today. But then a friend came up and gave me a big hug, and then I felt a whole lot better. I don't remember saying that. I might have. But I was kind of buying into that whole thing as well. Now, Luke here is not trying to trash Martha and lift up Mary. Okay? It looks kind of like that, unless you look at the whole context and everything like that. Remember, this text comes immediately after the Good Samaritan story. What do I do to be saved? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, love God and love your neighbor. Okay, do it. Yeah, but like, who's my neighbor? I mean, you know, there's got to be some boundaries on this, right? I mean, you know, you can't just help everybody. And so Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, where an unlikely person went out of their way for a total stranger in a relatively risky situation when there were two other people who one would have thought would have stopped, but didn't. And so Jesus poses the question. Changes it a little bit. It's not who's my neighbor, it's to whom can I be a good neighbor? Who was the good neighbor? Well, I suppose the one couldn't say the word Samaritan because, you know, you don't want to talk about those people. The one to whom he showed mercy. Go and do likewise. That's kind of a Martha thing to do, don't you think? I mean, that's kind of a Martha thing to do. So this might be just a little bit of a balance to that. We need Marthas. If we're going to get anything done, we need Marthas, let's face it. Not everyone can sit at the feet of Jesus and just sigh and dream and all that kind of thing. So we need Marthas. Amos talks a little bit about being a good, hospitable Martha. Let's remember, when Jesus came to the town, it was Martha who welcomed him into her home. Good for her. What about hospitality beyond the home? Community, country, world? Well, Amos says, hospitality outside the home, in a bigger context, with a larger population, looks like justice and mercy. It does. And so, here's somebody who's fiddling with the measurements by which you're selling your goods. Keep them honest. Come on. And if you try to make the biggest profit off of the poor, you gotta stop doing that. That's not okay. You can go to all the festivals and all the Sabbaths you want, but if that's your behavior, you've got something to learn. One thing about Martha, when she invited someone into her home, she set a good table. But she was also sort of caught up in, what must I do? Not what do I want to do? How can I show my hospitable natural spirit and care and concern for this person I've invited in the house, but what must I do to make an impression? I don't know what she was thinking. But she is worried about setting that table. And she is distracted from the presence of her guest because of it. And then there's Mary, the hero of the story. Kind of. I have a sinking suspicion. I have no proof. I am probably doing Mary a terrible disservice. But I have a feeling that this is not the first time that Martha has had to come out of the kitchen and say, Mary, can I get a little help here? I wonder if Mary wasn't one who, you know, if she wasn't sitting at the feet of a guest, was kind of not in the kitchen and not task-oriented and dreaming or something. Okay? I admit, I could be completely wrong here, but Mary's frustration and the frustration that focuses, or Martha's frustration and the way it focuses on Mary, I'm betting they've had this conversation before. Not that Mary's lazy, but she just maybe has a different cultural imperative going on in her head. Which meant Martha's had to carry the ball, and she's getting a little tired of it. And maybe she hasn't had a whole lot of luck going out and saying, Mary, can I get a little help in here? So she doesn't even talk to Mary. She goes to Jesus. Not a bad idea. Pour out your frustration to Jesus rather than on somebody else. Okay. Give her points for that. Lord, don't you care that I'm in there working all this, trying to set up a nice table, and Mary's out here doing nothing? Oops. Tell her to come and help me in the kitchen. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, what are you worried about? I didn't come here to white glove your cupboards. I didn't show up here because I wanted you to work your tail off in the kitchen. I was delighted when you welcomed me into your home, and I haven't seen you since. You're worried, you're distracted by so many things, but you know, some things are more important than others. And maybe spending a little time talking with me is the best, or the better, as Jesus puts it, the better part. And I'm not going to take that away from Mary. And we don't know what happened next. Was Mary a little chastised, or did she kind of look at her sister and go, ha, 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 Jesus is not backing you up. Did Martha get it and decide that what was in the kitchen wasn't all that important and sit down with Mary and Jesus? Maybe. Did she get all grumpy and go back into the kitchen and start clattering the dishes and knocking the spoons around? I don't know. You be the judge. But we need both. We do. There is something in us, I think, that knows that we need the balance. It comes out in funny ways. I don't know if you've noticed it now, but in the architecture of new homes and apartments, there's what they call the open floor plan. We got one. We looked for one. Why? So that anybody working in the kitchen can be part of the conversation going on in the living room. And balance is achieved. The meal still gets served. Preparation goes on, but so does conversation. And I'm hoping it's more than just a trend. I'm hoping that this is a way to receive some balance in our lives. And the balance needs to be in our faith life as well. One of my best friends in high school went to a different congregation, doesn't matter what it is, it had an attitude. And that was, when you invite Jesus into your home, you better start worrying. Be a little distracted. Because Jesus is keeping track, okay? And you dare not, foul up, mess up, Because that's going to be written in the book. And you're going to have to, that's going to come back to haunt you someday. I'm kind of glad that my congregation didn't do that. He needed to be able to just kind of sit at the feet of Jesus and just be present, you know? Not only to receive Jesus' presence, but to put his presence into the presence of Jesus, to offer that, like Mary offered her presence to a weary stranger who was on his way to Jerusalem to die. Just the comfort of having another body in the room instead of listening to people work in the kitchen. To be in Jesus' presence through word, through remembering our baptism, through prayer. Not because we need to be worried if we don't do it, but because being in the presence of Jesus is just a great thing. And gives us life. And then to finish the Mary part of it, to put ourselves into the presence of Jesus when we find Jesus maybe in some odd places. In places Jesus always seemed to be looking for people. In Matthew, Jesus says, you know, you want to help me? Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Visit people in prison. Take care of the sick. Because when you do those things, you have been in my presence and you have done them to me. And now it's time to bring out our, you know, latent Martha. Not with worry and distraction, but with efficiency and competence and a desire that if we're gonna set a table, it's gonna be a good table. Not because we're gonna get in trouble if we don't do it, but because Jesus deserves a really good table for what he has done for us. So when we're bold enough or sad enough or joyful enough that we consciously welcome Jesus into our homes, don't let worry and distraction make us miss the grace. And really, don't get so caught up in the grace that we just aren't any good to anybody on earth here at all, either. Go for the balance. And that balance will bring us grace and mercy and a sense of not only being in Christ's presence, but doing the things that he came to do. Good news to the poor, relief to the captives, sight to the blind, and a proclamation of the good news of the day of the Lord. Amen.